2 Timothy chapter 2 in your Bible tonight. Our theme for this lesson under the series, we've been doing a series on Wednesday night called Salt and Light. And the theme tonight is a soldier. A soldier. And 2 Timothy chapter number 2 is going to be our main text. And we will be working our way through other passages as well. Verse 1, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Verse 3 there, verse 4. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. You notice a good soldier in verse 3, and then you notice a soldier in verse 4. A soldier, in reference to military action, not necessarily spiritually speaking at the moment, but a good soldier follows the commands of the leader. And a good soldier is faithful, regardless of what is going on. The soldier is faithful. He is a matter of, he or she is an individual of duty, regardless of the circumstances. Yes, as we serve the Lord, there is delighting in it, but part of it is duty. And we have that duty as followers of Jesus Christ. We should love to do it, but there are days when duty has to rule, or else we might find ourselves quitting. The Christian life is definitely a battle. There's no question about it. When you and I got saved, you know, Satan didn't just say, oh, well, okay, they got saved, so we're going to leave them alone now. That's not how it works. The Christian life is a battle. Paul wrote this, if you want to turn over back a few books, to Ephesians chapter 6, he talks about it. Now, sometimes we may not recognize it as a battle because we don't see it. We don't see it with our eyes. In other words, there is part of our battle that we are facing, as Paul writes, that is, it is not seen by your eyes or mine, but it's there. Verse 12 of chapter 6, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. You know, I was reading this verse today again over and over, and I've read this verse, I can't tell you how many times I've read it in my Christian life, lots, because I love the book of Ephesians for one. And but I know, something really was challenging to me today. I mean, I know it's been there the whole time, but I always would focus on, We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. But, you know, that conjunction but there, it tells us that we do wrestle. So the Christian life is not easy. We have the joy of the Lord, but it's not easy because part of the Christian life is wrestling. So you could almost say, for we wrestle, and then, you know, don't read that word. I'm not saying take it out of your Bible. But for we wrestle against principalities. So he says we don't wrestle, but we do wrestle over here. Powers and rulers of darkness. Again, we don't see these people. I don't mean people. We don't see these forces, if you will. They're not visible to my eyes and your eyes. So out of sight does not mean nothing is happening. It's not out of sight, out of mind. We can't live the Christian life like that. You know, there is even, I mean, I don't mean to be causing fear or anything like that, but, you know, I mean, they're everywhere. You just can't see them. Principalities, powers, rulers of darkness. So we are wrestling in this Christian life. And both 2 Timothy chapter 2 and Ephesians chapter 6 also encourage us to be armed properly. Be armed properly. Talks about putting on the whole armor of God. Then Paul told Timothy, this, of course, was his son in the faith, and one the last two books he wrote, 1st, 2nd Timothy, Titus, these last three here. But he told Timothy, be strong in the Lord, 1 Timothy chapter 6, and verse 12. And then he said, fight the good fight. Fight the good fight. So this is part of the Christian life. We're not fighting one another. So that's the part that we don't want to do. But we are fighting. We don't want to wrestle with one another, but we are wrestling. These things cannot be avoided. It is impossible. So our text tonight that we looked at gives us some qualities of a successful soldier. And so I want to see if I have them. Let's see if you have them. Let's see if we have them. Number one is a strong soldier. A strong soldier. If we go back to our text, 2 Timothy chapter 2, the first verse says, thou therefore, my son, be what? Strong. Strong. We've got to be strong. No one desires to be weak. No one sets out to be weak. We want to be strong. And in thinking of it in a physical sense, this is the case as well. So what is part of our strengthening? What is it? Letter A, part of our strengthening is diet. Diet. The Bible in various places is compared to as food. It's compared to as food. And so we're going to look at a couple of those quickly. All right. First one is Job chapter 23, verse number 12. Job chapter 23, verse number 12. Job says, neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. Then he says, I have esteemed the words of his mouth. So he says, I've made the words of God high. I've esteemed them. I've given them top billing, so to speak. More than my necessary food. So he's comparing God's word, how we need food. In the same way, he's saying, I need God's word. And we should, obviously, I think we could come to that same decision as Job. In Psalm 119, the psalmist talks about the word of God being honey. Psalm 119, 103, sweeter than honey to my mouth. I had some honey yesterday on some bread. You know, honey, obviously bread too. God, the Bible says he is the bread of life. In Jeremiah 15, 16, he says, thy words were found and I did eat them. I did eat them. What is he saying? He's saying, I must have a steady diet of God's word. And as we think and we're going into a brand new year, we can't change the first 364 days. You've only got 2 hours and 21 minutes to change something in this year. But as we think about it and we move into a new year, I think a lot of these things that are in this lesson tonight are very timely. And we need to have a diet. We need to have a steady diet of God's word. And it's not just preaching. To me, preaching as for your diet is really supplemental. Really, the main steady course of your diet of God's word is your own Bible reading, not preaching. This is just, you know, whipped cream, you know. It doesn't taste like that sometimes, does it? Cherries, you know. It's good. We need preaching. Preach the word. Be instant in season. It's important. I'm not saying we don't need it. I'm just saying if that's only time we hear the Bible, I guess that's good, but we really need it every day, right? We need to read it. And we'll talk about a little bit more about it. So how about milk? 1 Timothy 2:2, right? Compares to the brand new baby needs milk. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. Think about how much that newborn baby needs milk. That's the spirit for me. That's the spirit for you to have toward this. We must have it. If we're going to be a strong soldier. Now, if you're saved, you're a soldier, period. But that doesn't mean you're strong. And that doesn't mean I'm strong. You don't just show up on the battlefield not having a good diet and expect to be strong. It's not going to happen. Which is why many, many Christians, and I'm not saying it could happen to me, okay? I'm not putting me outside of this group. Many, many Christians are just, they're anemic. You know why they're anemic? No diet. No scripture. You know, and it doesn't have to be that way. We have a Bible, and many of us have more than one copy. We have the ability to look it up on our phone. I was using my phone to do a little bit of searching today for different things in the Bible. And it was just quick, you know, and it's a great tool. So we've got to have a proper diet of the Word of God, So we need to be fit. The Christian soldier must be spiritually fit to serve the Master to his fullest. So when we think about our reading of God's Word, it's not simply to check off the list. Here's a great thought. Let's read the Bible to learn something. Let's not just read the Bible to get done. Let's read the Bible to learn. So, and if we go into that every time we open it up, I want to learn something. I mean, you have the greatest teacher, if you're saved, you have the greatest teacher living in you, Holy Spirit. You know the Holy Spirit, one of the jobs of the Holy Spirit is to guide us to all truth. So if I'm going to learn, I might as well just say, Holy Spirit, I want to learn something today. I don't want these black words read. Some of them are red, right? I don't want some of these black words just going through my eyes. I want to learn something. Why? So that I can be stronger, because I'm in wrestling. Remember, we are wrestling. You know, some Christians in 2025, they got pinned. 1, 2, 3, done, pinned. That's not good. Can't be a soldier laying on the mat. I want to encourage us. I want to, as a preacher of the gospel, it is my responsibility to reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering. Get off the mat. You don't have to remain on the mat. I don't have to remain on the mat. I can get up and I can get a good diet and I can wrestle with the best of them. Hulk Hogan have nothing on me, right? I'm just saying, boy, the devil is so, he knows how to keep you and me away from things that'll make us stronger. So anyway, don't read to get it done, read to learn. The cow doesn't chew the cud and quickly and just spit it out. It's not how the cow works. And you've heard that illustration before. The word meditation comes from the same word that has to do with the cow chewing of the cud, and it drops it down into stomach number one, brings it back up, chews it some more, drops it down into stomach number two, and on it goes. If you never researched that, study that out a little bit. And we won't go into too much detail, but that's what it's talking about. When we meditate, we're not just trying to hurry our way through it. So A is diet. B is exercise. If we're going to be strong, we've got to exercise. So we have a good diet, the Word of God. How do we exercise as soldiers of Christ in a spiritual sense, okay? We've got to move through these. Number one, we must exercise our faith. Faith is like a muscle. If you look at it that way, faith is like a muscle. If a muscle is not exercised properly, it will not grow. Faith that is not exercised properly will not grow. Romans chapter 4, verse number 20. It's talking about Abraham. Romans chapter 4. We got our theme from this passage a couple of years ago. Romans chapter 4, verse number 20. Therefore, that's 3:20. Okay. 4:20. He staggered not, he being Abraham, staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith. Strong in faith. Now, I think everybody has some faith. Some people have strong faith. Some people have not so strong faith. And I'm not trying to compare ourselves among ourselves, but you can have strong faith if you want. But it must be exercised. 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Romans 14:23, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. See, how do we exercise living by faith? It becomes a habit. Now, bad habits are born the same way. So let's have some good habits, right? Exercise your faith. Here's three things. This is how you exercise your faith. Number one, choose to trust God. When something comes up, okay, now the rubber meets the road. choose to trust God. Secondly, read and believe his promises. This is what builds our faith. I'm going to trust God for this. I'm not going to worry this time. I'm going to trust God. I'm going to find a promise this time. I'm not going to worry about it. I'm going to find a promise. I'm going to claim the promise. And when God comes through, guess what happens to my faith? It gets bigger. It gets stronger. Then thirdly, obey the commands of Scripture. So trust God. Choose to trust. Choosing to trust. Reading his promises. How do you read his word? Do you find his promises? It goes back to the diet, right? You find his promises in the word of God. Then obeying the commands of Scripture. So this helps, in my opinion, this helps to, the obedience especially is so important. It kind of ties everything else together. It helps to exercise our faith. So we need to exercise our faith by this is what builds us. Exercise, right? So exercise our faith. Secondly, we need to exercise ourselves in right living. Just determine, I want to live right. Now, we're not perfect, but we need to make that determination. I want to live right. This is part of the exercise part, okay? We got the diet, but now we got the exercise. We got our faith exercise, but now I want to live right. Acts 24:16. And herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men. Void of offense, meaning I'm right with God. And that ought to be our goal every day of our life, is I want to live this day right with God. Doesn't mean holier than thou. It means I want to live this day right with God. But then, not only that, did you catch the end of the verse? Void of offense toward God and toward man. That means I also should be asking God to help me live this day void of offense toward other people, whether that be my spouse, my children, my coworkers, my neighbors, whoever it may be. Void of offense toward God and toward man. So Paul practiced right living so he would have no regrets toward God or his fellow man. So exercise to godly living. Finally, exercise ourselves to godliness. To godliness. Would you go to 1 Timothy 4:7-8? 1 Timothy 4:7-8 should be just back a couple pages. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. Bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things. See that? Godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. This need to exercise ourselves in having the proper attitude toward God and in giving him the respect and honor he deserves does not come naturally. It takes work. Ask any athlete, they will tell you the same thing. It takes work. So, as you think about your diet and your exercise, where are you at in that tonight? Now, God is patient. I'm glad for that, by the way, in my own life. God is merciful. God is gracious. I'm really glad for that. So God does not expect the same from a baby Christian as he does from a mature Christian. Hebrews 5:14 says, strong meat belongeth to them that are of age. You know what that means? That means that not everybody is going to be eating meat. There's going to be some people that are still drinking milk. And that's fine. But I was thinking about something. You know, this is also true, not necessarily in our by our birth certificate. But there are some people that, I wrote this down, this is not always measured by time. An individual could be saved for many years and still be immature. We want to avoid that, by the way. There are some people that have only been saved a little bit of time, but they're already maturing. And there are some people that have been saved for a long time, and they're not. Do you know why that's the case? It all comes back to this book right here. This is what makes us stronger. God's word. There's milk in here. There's meat in here. And so this is what makes me ready to be a soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ. None of us want to live our entire Christian life on a child's level. The only way that's going to happen is proper exercise and diet. 2 Peter 3:18, grow in grace. Grow. And in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. How do you grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? Okay, we're getting right back to the Bible, right? So if you want to know more about God, read his word. Soldier. Again, everybody here, if you're saved, you're a soldier. But are you a strong one? I'll tell you what, I need to be a stronger one. I may be strong in some areas, but I'm very weak in some areas, and I'm more than, not happy, but I'm more than willing to admit that. But I want to be stronger. Not so I can say I'm somebody. But the last thing I want to do is fall away from God and displease him. Remember that verse we read just a moment ago? Please him. So I've got to have good diet, and I've got to have good exercise to be strong. Then number two, not only a strong soldier, but a single-minded soldier. Single-minded soldier. Back to our text, 2 Timothy chapter 2. Thou therefore endure hardness, verse 3, as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. I think Pastor Yassin even referred to these verses a little bit on Sunday night. That he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. So, what does it take to become single-minded? Letter A, we will have to endure hardness. Endure hardness. In other words, it's not if there will be hard times, it's when. Because Paul told Timothy, thou therefore endure hardness. He didn't say, if it gets tough, endure hardness. He's just assuming it's going to be tough. And Paul could definitely talk about it being tough. You know, he was stoned, and some people believe he was dead. And so either way, the point is, he could relate to that. And so success always takes effort. Success takes determination. Success takes endurance. And these are all qualities that are going to be needed if we're going to be the soldier that God has saved us to be. Endure hardness. Now, single-mindedness. Look down at verse 12 of chapter 3. Sorry. 2 Timothy. Same book. He said, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So, again, it's not if, but when. But here's the good news. God will provide us with the endurance that we need, because it's not you and me going out into life alone. If God be for us, who can be against us? We sang a little bit of that, if you noticed that, in that song, and that's taken right from the Word of God. We can go to Romans chapter 8. The understood answer to that question is God is for us. So that means no one can be against us in the sense of being this soldier, but it will be a challenge. How about Matthew chapter 5, the Sermon on the Mount? Jesus said, blessed are they, in verse 10, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you, persecute you, shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. In other words, there's a persecution because of our identification with Christ. Rejoice. Oh, that, you know, that doesn't seem like the word that would come after hearing persecution. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your what? Reward. Like those crowns that we learned about. For great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were what? Before you. So we can't look at our situation and say, this has never happened to anybody before. Now, maybe there's a couple of unique things about it that you could say that about, but no one can say that you're the first person to go through a challenging time. I'm not saying it makes it simpler. I'm just saying that's the truth. And the good news is that God has not abandoned you or me, and God is able to help us through, but we've got to be willing to have single-mindedness. It's not my job to win the battle. God's already won the battle. He said, it is finished, Jesus said. The war is already won, but yeah, I guess there's maybe a day-to-day battle. But the war is over. Christ is victorious. If you're on Christ's side, you're on the winning side. Praise the Lord for that. And I'm thankful for that. John 16, 33, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. He said, in the world ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer. What did he say? Jesus said, I have overcome the world. Now, we can remain single-minded by setting ourselves to endure hardness. So, letter B. Not just endure hardness, but letter B. We need to remain free of entanglement. A single-minded soldier refuses to be distracted. And we have enough of those in our day, don't we? Because the soldier has a duty to do, right? And as a soldier in the army of the Lord, we need to be careful that we're not entangled, distracted. Look what he says in verse 4. 2 Timothy 2:4, no man that warreth, that's a soldier, he wars, entangleth himself, how? With the affairs of this life. With this life. We must not get too entangled. The tomb of the unknown soldier in Arlington National Cemetery in Washington, D.C., maybe you've heard of it. It is a monument to soldiers who gave their lives in service to the United States, but whose bodies were not identified. That's why they call it the tomb of the unknown soldier. There are graves marked by white little things that stick up out of the ground. It's quite the sight. This tomb is guarded 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The sentinel on duty performs his responsibility with great ceremony and utmost precision. Listen to this. He takes 21 steps. This is alluding to the 21-gun salute, the highest honor given any military dignity. He takes 21 steps across the tomb, turns to face the tomb for 21 seconds, turns again and changes his weapon to the outside shoulder, counts another 21 seconds, and makes a 21-step return walk. He continues this process until he is relieved at the guard change. This guard allows no distractions to his mission. By the way, if it's pouring down rain, they still do this. No umbrellas. Friends in the crowd watching this ceremony, because you can go and actually watch this take place, does not distract this soldier. No entanglements, no distractions, no personal concerns. This goes on and on and on, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, by various soldiers, of course. I give you that to say that we live in a world that offers all kinds of distractions, all kinds of entanglements. We can be overly concerned with a lot of things, not that are bad, but we can be overly concerned with them. And what do they become? They become a distraction. They prevent us from being single-minded. Some of them, again, are good things, maybe a hobby, But if it overtakes us to the point of it being a distraction, it affects our single-mindedness. Jesus said it this way: no man can serve two masters. Now, he didn't even say five. He just said two. That means all we have to have is one distraction. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. So you cannot be a soldier, a strong soldier, a single-minded soldier, if I want to be a soldier, but I want to serve me first. I cannot be the strong soldier and the single-minded soldier if I'm going to serve money and then the Lord. The love of money is the root of all evil. So you fill in the blank, whatever it might be, these are distractions. We've got to guard against them. James said it this way. We read it a few weeks ago as we've been working on the book of James. James 1:8. A double-minded man is what? He's unstable. A double-minded man, then we could say this. A double-minded soldier. Hey, you know what? If you're, think about it. If you're a parent tonight, you're a soldier in the Lord's army, it's very important that you determine, I don't want to be double-minded as a parent. Can you imagine if you were in the battlefield and the guy beside you or the lady beside you in the military was a double-minded soldier and you're in the middle of a battle? And their phone, this wouldn't happen, but their phone vibrated and, oh, I got to check my Facebook. Bullets flying by. You see, that would never happen. Well, it happens spiritually in way too many Christian homes. Or brothers in Christ or sisters in Christ. You know what? I don't want to be a brother in Christ who isn't locked in single-mindedness. Why? Because I might need to help Brother Reuben one time. And the next time he might need to help me. And I want him to be single-minded. Why? Not because I want his help, but because we're in a battle together too. We're arm in arm. And in your home especially, though, we need moms and dads, and we need children that are growing and maturing in the Lord. Yes, I know some of the real young ones, but even them, we want to encourage this single-mindedness early on, because we are in a battle. Free yourself from distractions by keeping yourself focused on the Lord. Single-mindedness. Then, another way that we are going to be this soldier that we need to be a single-minded soldier, is A, endure hardness, B, remain free of entanglement, then letter C, we need to obey the commanding officer. I was just talking to James Lee on Sunday night. James Lee is in the Korean military. He'll be done in April with a year and a half. You know, I can imagine. I didn't ask him this, but I can only imagine if he were to, you know, if he has a commanding officer. I'm sure he does, and I can imagine what it would be like if you talked back to your commanding officer in some way. I don't think that would be a good thing to do, right? But yeah, it's amazing how we don't maybe verbalize it, but how our life is not a life of yieldedness or surrenderedness. And those are the two words I wrote down, yielded and surrendered. Again, we go back to the Sermon on the Mount. I guess it's after the Sermon on the Mount. Right after the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 8, verse 8. The Bible says, the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth. Why? Because when the commanding officer says, go, you go. And to another, come, and he cometh. To my servant, do this, and he doeth it. So a Roman soldier under a centurion were required to obey. There was no option. So in that same way, we as God's children, and again, we don't think of it in the same way totally as a soldier to a commanding officer, because our commanding officer is love. God is love. So it's a little different than that guy in the Marines screaming at somebody. Our God is love. So it's not out of duty. Again, yes, that's part of it, but it ought to grow into being delightful. Here's something in the notes that really stuck out to me. As long as we are trying to fight our way, we will not be successful for the cause of Christ. Who is in charge in your life? Who's in charge? It's really a convicting question. Military progress cannot be made until that is resolved. Who's in charge? And I'll say, Christian growth will not happen until that is resolved. If you're in charge, then it's only going to be so much. But if God's in charge, if I'm in charge, weak and anemic. But if I let God be in charge, then we're going to go to war. And he's going to win. I'm just going to follow him. Because I'm not going to win. I have to follow the leader. Joshua learned the importance of recognizing God as the supreme commanding officer. And our theme verse is from Joshua this year. I'm looking forward to preaching from Joshua chapter 24 Sunday morning. Pray for me about that. But Joshua understood that. Turn over to Joshua chapter 5. Joshua chapter 5. And verse number 13. And it came to pass, when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. What a sight that must have been. And Joshua went unto him and said, art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord. So it's not your everyday soldier. Am I now come? In other words, this guy was sent directly from heaven. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? You know, Joshua knew that the Lord, as the rightful captain, would give his battle plan to Joshua. Later in Joshua's life, we get our theme verse. It just so happens to be that Joshua challenged the people, choose you this day whom you will serve. Again, this is at the beginning. We just looked at it at the beginning of Joshua's leadership time. And now at the ending of Joshua's leadership time, he said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Single-mindedness. We must not let our heart dwell on the hardness. We must not let our heart dwell on the warfare. Instead, concentrate on the goodness of God. The world is entangled, filled with entanglements. Don't focus on those. Focus on the duties as a soldier. And don't fight in your own strength. It's not going to work out well. Submit to the commanding officer. Single-mindedness, strong soldier. Then lastly is a secure soldier, number three. A soldier must understand who he or she is, where they are headed, and what their responsibilities are. So letter A is position. Position. In other words, what is our identity as a soldier of Jesus Christ? In other words, let us be secure in this. We're not secure in what everybody else thinks of us, but we are secure in what God knows about us. God knows that without him, I am a weak soldier. But with him, I am more than a conqueror. That's my position. See, my position is in Christ. And so because my position is in Christ, and let's get our position in Christ, then we can have assurance and we can have great confidence. that we're more than a conqueror. So our position. Then letter B is our destination. Our destination. Okay? We're a soldier. How do we become a soldier? Well, we became a soldier by when we enlisted. When did we enlist? When we got saved. When we got saved, we enlisted to be a soldier. And what's our destination as a saved soldier? Heaven. Amen. Hallelujah. Isn't that great? John 14, 2 and 3. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, where is he? In heaven. There ye may be also. That's our destination. I mean, the best thing that could happen to me tomorrow morning, I mean, I'm not trying to be morbid, but the best thing that could happen to me tomorrow morning is to wake up in the presence of the Lord. That's my destination. Now, I want to be on the battlefield as long as God wants me to be, and I hope you do too. But think, that's our destination. Heaven. Wow, what a blessing. In other words, working and laboring and serving. And that's why serving is so important in the Christian life. And then eventually comes eternal victory. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 12. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. You see it there? If we suffer, we shall also reign. Wow. That's a great promise. That is our destination. As I said earlier, I'm on the winning side. You're on the winning side. We don't fear the evil one. We don't fear the evil one. No. Don't have to. Because our destination is secure in Christ. Our destination is heaven. So we have a position in Christ. We have a destination, heaven. Then we have a commission. We have marching orders. And it's very simple. Here is our simple marching orders for the soldiers of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 4:2. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. That's our orders. That's our commission. In 2026, that is your commission. That is my commission. Faithfulness. Not talent, faithfulness. Not ability, faithfulness. Not flash and dash. You know, we don't need any firecrackers. The bottle rockets were going off earlier tonight. We don't need any firecracker Christians, you know. They explode, make a lot of noise, and then they're gone. We don't need that. You know what we need? Candles. I like candles. When you light a candle, it lasts for hours. That's what we need. Slowly burning. But you know what? Faithful. Right? You know what we need? We need old faithful, like over there in Yellowstone. Right on time. I think it's in Yellowstone. Right on time, that thing blows. I don't even know the whole story behind it. Never been there, but old faithful, you know? You can count on it. It just, boom, there it goes. That's old faithful. Faithfulness, that is our commission. And you know why we want to be faithful? To bring God glory. To bring God glory. Speaking of military, the United States Marine Corps has a motto, Semper Fidelis. Semper Fidelis. Have you ever heard it before? Maybe you have. Semper Fidelis. Here's what it means. Always faithful. Semper Fi. Always faithful. 1 Timothy 6:12. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. We have to faithfully fight. Paul said, I have fought a good fight. I finished my course. I kept the faith. Soldiers, for the Lord. We are soldiers. Everybody here tonight, if you're saved, you are a soldier. Have we been a faithful soldier in 2025? Now, we cannot undo 2025. I'm not trying to be fatalist. There's nothing we can do about it, but we should analyze to learn. Analyze to learn. So we look at it and say, oh, everybody here would have to say, no, I haven't been a fully faithful soldier in 2025. Nobody has, okay? Because we compare ourselves to the Christ, not one another. Don't compare yourself to the other soldiers. Compare yourself to the commanding officer. Who's the commanding officer? The Lord Jesus. The rest of us are soldiers. We don't compare ourselves among ourselves. That's not a good idea. But we compare ourselves to Christ. When we do that, there's always room for improvement. But I'm thankful that we have a commanding officer who's faithfully leading the way, faithfully providing, faithfully equipping. Because we do wrestle. We just don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against principalities. Maybe you got pinned too many times in 2025. It's time to get off the mat. It's time to claim the victory. It's time to read the Bible to learn. It's time to have a good diet. It's time to have good exercise. It's time to be single-minded. It's time to be strong. Strong in the Lord, in the power of His might. Let's pray. Heavenly